The three of you spend your time hiding inside the illusory vending machine. Dinner time lasts 30 minutes, apparently, but the situation is fraught enough that it passes you in an eye blink. It's only while the cleaning crew is taking care of the mess hall that time seems to return to normal, and you can start to feel the stiffness in your joints from standing in one cramped location for so long. Gui's table was a mess, so after the cleaning is done, the whole room smells of pungent bleach.
Oh my god.
Terry releases the illusion. Light Show appears from out of a corner, as if walking from thin air. He says, "Holy heck! Let's all agree not to get caught by Captain Gui, all right?"
"Flex, go get the real vending machine. Bring it back here."
"Oh, yeah, yep."
You teleport to the closet, grab the machine, then bring it back. You plug it into the wall, and it's almost like it never left.
Grab Elvis and shove him face first into the vending machine. "What is wrong with you?"
"What? I got the vending machine like you asked."
Light Show says, "Hey, hey." And he gently puts a hand on your shoulder, Kimon. He's trying to make eye contact with you like he's approaching a scary dog.
"I meant your phone! How'd you get it back? I broke the dang thing!"
"Oh, okay, that."
"Yes, that!"
"All right, look, Kimon. I think you and I are both kind of mad about this, and we should talk about it. But we have to keep our tempers, okay? Or we'll compromise ourselves and this mission. We need Flux. We need to keep working together."
"We need to do something about Flux's phone!"
"Maybe he can toss it overboard. He can't fix the pieces if they're at the bottom of the ocean."
"Elvis, do you understand the danger that you just put us in?"
"Okay, yes. I see that it is dangerous. Somewhat. But it was set to vibrate, and it was in a crowded room, so it was easily mistaken for somebody else's phone."
"What if we were in a hallway holding our breath while somebody walked by us? God, what if it wasn't even your mom calling, but we died because of a telemarketer? What happens if there's a storm warning? Isn't that thing gonna shriek like a siren?"
"I've blocked the storm warnings. I have taken precautions."
"Elvis, we don't have any margin for error. I don't want to wind up on Gui's dinner plate. Please give up the phone."
"Okay. All right.
I'm not gonna take it this time. You get rid of it. Teleport it off the boat."
"Just..."
"Yeah. Teleport it overboard."
"Okay." I teleport the cell phone back into my luggage in the shipping container.
"All right. It's gone now. Kimon, are we good?"
"Fine. Now let's get back to the container and assess our next move."
You guys make your way back to the shipping container. By now, the sun is set and it's dark. The ocean looks like an abyss.
"I'm gonna get out the radio and call Lowry.
There's no way that's gonna reach at this point. We gotta be out to sea, and aside from that, we're transmitting from inside a metal box."
"I'm an inventor. You just have to trust. Hello? Lowry, come in?"
"Lowry, back at the fortress. You've just been waiting while staff handle the general functions of the vessel. You've likely had your own dinner in the fortress mess hall, and on the way out, you get a page informing you of Elvis's radio call."
"Okay, go to the bridge and pick up the call. Hello, Elvis. This is Lowry. Calling back. Are you still there?"
"Yes, this is Elvis. I read you."
"What? But how?"
"Go ahead, Elvis. How'd the poisoning go?"
Well, regrettably, Howard's probably gonna get sick in not too long. Although, I got a report. Lowry, how exactly do I report that a supervillain ate somebody?"
"Oh, well, exactly like that. I mean, there's not exactly a well-known police code for cannibalism. I believe we'd classify that first as a murder and then second desecration of a body."
"Okay, then I would like to file a report stating that Captain Gui murdered and then desecrated a body, okay?"
"Okay, I'll mark that down. You saw it happen?"
"I personally didn't see it so much as I sat in a dark box and listened to it happen for a while."
"I'm sure we can find trace evidence of blood in the mess hall to corroborate your story."
"Exactly how long can we wait on that if we plan to head all the way to Canada and back?"
"It should be fine, don't worry about it. Until then, can you guys find Howard and confirm that he's sick? I'd like to keep a close eye on his condition and what Captain Gui decides to do about it."
"You got it. I'd feel extremely responsible if something happened to him."
"As soon as he's showing symptoms, I'd like to know."
"It might be easier to keep an eye on the bridge and let you know if they divert course."
"We don't know if they'll do that. Please check up on Howard and then tell me if he's sick."
"Yes, sir, Lowry. Over and out."
"There's nothing we can do in the event that Howard is sick. I don't understand why Lowry wants us to track his condition."
"Because we're responsible for it, Kimon."
"But if we're gonna be out listening in, it should be on Gui."
"I don't know. I personally would like to be assured that your own son isn't dying, because apparently I actually care about human life."
"Misplacing our priorities doesn't necessarily speak to that."
"We poisoned him. That means that his condition is on us. Besides, Lowry gave me a direct order."
"In the field of battle, a general outranks a king."
"Who says that? What does that even mean?"
"It means that people doing the dangerous field work can sometimes second-guess their superiors if the situation warrants."
"That would just lead to failing the mission you were assigned and getting executed."
"If defying your superiors leads to failing your mission, then defying your superiors might have been unwarranted. It's part of making a judgment call, and it means accepting responsibility for that call on yourself. or accepting punishment if the call was especially bad. It takes a bad king to punish a general for second-guessing an order if it won the day.
Well, then I am making a judgment call to side with Lowry. And if you want to deviate at all from this stated and approved plan, you'll have to find someone else to teleport you around the boat.
Fine.
Good.
You aren't sure yet where Mercury and Howard are staying, and because you have to be moving inside the living space of the ship where there's more human traffic, Kimon has an especially difficult time navigating through it. You have a few narrow brushes where Kimon has to rush everyone down one hall, wait for a crewman to walk by, then rush directly into another hall because someone else was coming the other way. The stress of trying to keep this up would be pretty bad, but luckily you discover the communal bathroom when you hear Howard throwing up into it. You park yourselves outside the hallway. From within, you can hear Howard saying, "I'm telling you, there was something off with my dinner. It didn't taste right, it didn't smell right." Mercury says, "Are you certain it isn't just seasickness? Luckily the rooms are higher up than I anticipated. I thought for sure crew members would be stuck rolling around in the lower holds." Howard says, "Oh, that's where the engines and more cargo operations are. Nobody wants to sleep down there. That'd be awful. How could you sleep?" "Regardless, are you running a fever? It's only been a few hours. If it's something viral, it shouldn't have come over you this fast. Unless it were fairly severe." Mercury goes to check Howard's forehead. "I don't know. It doesn't seem you have a fever." "My guts feel all bloated. Throwing up makes me feel better, and then they go all bloated again."
"It may just be a little enteric poisoning. We all ate the same thing. No one else is throwing up."
"I felt something splatter on me while Gwei was eating. I worry something got in my plate that I didn't notice. I was watching that whole mess, and then I thought about, oh, maybe my plate's too close. But you said to eat, so I wouldn't show weakness."
"Indeed. And we still mustn't. Until you're running a fever and showing signs of some sort of infection, we must chalk this up to minor seasickness, the likes of which you will overcome."
"Well, what do I do until then? The bathrooms are shared. I don't want to stay here hunched over the toilet. That looks weak too, but I don't want to go back to my room."
"The room is more discreet. In how dignified of a manner could you fast walk to the bathroom?"
"Well, if that's what I gotta do, I'll make it as dignified as I can."
"Very good. I appreciate the seriousness with which you take our endeavors, Howard. You are a worthy minion."
"Thank you, sir."
"I may, however, have to belittle you in front of Captain Gwei."
"I understand, sir."
"Excellent."
"All right, he's sick. Are you satisfied?"
"Am I satisfied? Obviously not."
"I mean, with our surveillance, so that we can go report to Lowry and then focus on watching Gwei."
"Yes, we can go report and then get our next set of orders."
Finding your way out is much clearer and faster than finding your way in. With only a little ducking and weaving, you're back to the shipping crate.
"Lowry, come in."
"Hello, Elvis. Go ahead."
"So we can confirm, it looks like Howard is throwing up. They're putting off reporting it, but it's setting in pretty fast."
"Okay, that's good news. He's out of the picture. Can I have you guys just sit tight in your box for a little bit?"
"Lowry, we really ought to start monitoring Captain Gwei. They're officially underway, and if they decide to reroute, we need to know how he handles it."
"Oh, get off it. It sounds like they're going to wait a bit before they admit Howard is sick, so you guys have a few hours at a minimum."
"We don't get two chances."
"Look, sit tight. I will call you back with information. Over and out."
"Call us back with information? What is he talking about? We're the ones gathering information."
"He's probably got to figure out who's nearby that can scoop up Howard."
"What I'm actually going to do is contact the Coast Guard and inform them that Unstoppable Industries is about to make an arrest on the high seas. We'll need their support to take over a cargo vessel so it doesn't go derelict."
"Yeah, the Coast Guard is surprised. This is kind of their jurisdiction, but we'll cut to the chase. They recognize who Freeze Frame is, and the men immediately on hand don't personally want to try to bring down a giant turtle or any other super individual, so they promise to pull together some emergency support. They'll have boats on scene within maybe 30 minutes. You can tell, however, that they seem a bit unhappy that you're dropping this on them with almost no warning."
"That means it's too little warning for Captain Gwei to do anything about it. Get back on the radio and call back Elvis." "Elvis, this is Lowry."
"Reading."
"We've had a change to the general shape of the plan. The Coast Guard is now inbound with an ETA of about 30 minutes. We're going to coordinate with them to arrest Gwei, Howard, and ideally Mercury if you think you can swing it."
Whoa, wait. We haven't even gathered any of the intel that we came to get."
"We know a crime has been committed. We have Captain Gwei for eating a guy. He's aiding and abetting super criminals that are known terrorists. We've pretty well got enough to move in."
"But we've got nothing on their broader network. We haven't really learned anything."
"Captain Gwei is international. He goes way beyond New Jersey Delphia, and we'd have to turn it over to a different agency. I don't want to deal with all that."
"But we could have found out where Mercury was going to take his weapons. Figured out who was harboring them. Maybe get a second business wrapped up in his network to make more connections."
"The Coast Guard's already been called. This is already decided.
Well, what do you want us to do, Lowry? Just sit tight?
When the Coast Guard arrives, drop cover and round up the supervillains. That's all you need to do now.
Okay. Understood, Lowry. Over and out.
Oh my god!
Well, this way, at least Howard will get his medical treatment, and we know we haven't put him in as much danger.
If all we wanted was to get Howard, we could have followed him after the boat returned. And Gwei would have been in harbor for a while. This is just more short-sighted PR stuff for the stockholders.
You know, you're overly cynical. I'm sure that it does look good to the investors, but it also reassures the public. It affirms that criminals cannot get away with their crimes, and sees to it that we don't become murderers through poisoning. So, you know, the whole situation might be a little more nuanced than you're giving it credit for.
Lightshow says, well, this is how it's going to be. If the Coast Guard is coming, they're coming. Let's figure out how we want to try to round up Gwei, Howard, and Mercury. How do we do that?
I'm not sure we can catch Mercury at present. The current theory is that we need freeze frame to trap him in ice so he can't slip away. As for Howard, he's down. So we'll need to borrow some cuffs from the Coast Guard, and that should do it. With Gwei and his crew, I guess he could fight. But if he fights the Coast Guard, then his stint as both a captain and a spy are as good as over, assuming he could even make it out. Where would he go? He has to surrender.
There has to be something we can do to corner Mercury.
We now have less than 30 minutes to think of an idea. I mean, if we can find an airtight container and just teleport it over Mercury so that he's trapped inside, that might be feasible.
Even if we could find something like that, how could we lug it around?
I don't suppose that AI-powered capturing device is in anyone's luggage?
I couldn't get it working. That whole thing was fake.
You know, a few clever people are gonna notice that we didn't use that thing when Mercury gets away again. But luckily, a lot of the public has short memory.
Regardless of that, what are we doing?
We wait until the Coast Guard arrives. I assume Gwei will surrender, and if he doesn't, we'll step in. Once it's clear he's giving up, we'll make sure to secure Howard, and if I'm being honest, Mercury's gonna slip out.
Well, you're just giving up. We can't just let Mercury leave.
Well, tell me a way to catch him. Tell me one thing we can do as each minute rots away before we have to decide.
Obviously, we can't just let him leave.
Lightshow, do you understand the plan?
Yeah, I follow it.
Then let's get to the bridge so that we can keep an eye on Gwei. Maybe we'll clock him at the outset if he tries to give an order to fight back.
You make your move to the bridge, where Gwei is indeed still at the helm. There's not much going on presently as he and the crew deal with the basic humdrum of managing the ship. That is, until he gets a radio message. It's the Coast Guard, and they give the order for Gwei to power down his engines and submit to a boarding action. Gwei says, "The Coast Guard? But why?" A crewman says, "They won't elaborate, sir. Maybe they got a tip that we're running a job?" "Well, we haven't picked up anything yet. We'll have reason to grumble about the extra burdens of this delay, but otherwise go ahead and bring down the engines. There's no need to make a fuss. What about our passengers, sir? Have someone inform them of the raid. It should be easy enough to hide two people aboard a cargo ship. It would take hours, if not days, to comb this entire vessel and its contents from top to bottom. If they are found, then, of course, we will merely say that they threatened our lives to provide them passage. Though, of course, say nothing directly to the authorities. Speak only to our lawyers. Let the crew know of the impending action." Meanwhile, Lowry, from beneath the water, your sonar is showing the approach of Coast Guard vessels, and you can observe the powering down of Gwei's engines.
All right, everyone. Raise us up. I'd like to prep the helicopter.
Paul and Elvis, before you can leave to secure, at a minimum, Howard, the depths of the Black Night Ocean begin to boil. Gwei cries out, "What is happening?" as his vessel rocks from the sudden displacement of water. Like some horrible arcane artifice, the fortress rises from the waters. It casts floodlights down onto the boat. While the cargo ship is vast in length, the fortress sits like a ziggurat above it, its stabilization engines screaming into the sky. A hatch in the upper segment gives way, and you can hear the chopping blows of the helicopter as it takes to the air. It strafes over the deck, stabbing its own light directly onto the bridge. Captain Gwei demands, "What the hell is going on?"
"What the hell is that?"
Paul breaks from cover as he goes straight to the window. The ancient symbol of your greatest failure seems to have dredged itself from hell itself, but in the wrong colors, making not quite the right sounds as the ones that you remember. Some sort of evil twin you never knew about. When you appear from thin air, everyone on the bridge starts. Several crew members dive aside as if afraid you're going to explode.
"Is that the demon's fortress?"
Captain Gwei yells, "Are you Kiman?" When you don't respond, he asks, "Is that the demon's fortress?"
"No, it sank. Everyone on it is dead."
"You're under arrest, Captain Gwei."
Captain Gwei turns to look at you. He's grinning, and there's an odd look in his eyes. It could be fear, certainly some amount of malice, but all the same, he puts his hands in the air. "I will comply."
I get on the loudspeaker for the helicopter. "Everybody, freeze."